42-10, 37-0. The last couple of years, the Badgers have been thumped by Iowa. Can the Badgers actually get it done this year?
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woo-hoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rajiv, in for a Know Your Foe episode midweek, talking about, yes, the Iowa Hawkeyes. Sorry, it's me going solo tonight. I had to record this later in the day, so Justin sadly could not be on. He'll talk about his thoughts on Iowa on our main pod this weekend. Got a great guest from the 12 Saturdays 2.0 podcast. Joel was fantastic. He's a former Iowa journalist. He's also going to be becoming an official for college football, which is cool. But he knows a lot about Iowa, so we were able to talk to him today. And I'm going to drop that interview here, and then we're going to come back and talk about this crazy game with Iowa. All right, Joel Krausar joins us from the 12 Saturdays podcast. Joel, welcome to the show. How are you? Tell us about your podcast. I think it's going to be ending soon, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're about ready to retire. My co-host and I, Tori Brecht, Tori actually works for the University of Iowa. We're both former Iowa media guys. Like he was an editor of the Iowa City Press Citizen. I was the sports director of a radio station in Southeast Iowa and former print journalist as well. And so we kind of met each other through journalism friends. And then he had this podcast. He had a co-host that had transitioned on, and we rebooted it about 3.5-4 years ago. And then I kind of have grown into a new role in sports, and I am now a college football official, and I've actually been accepted into the Division I replay official program. So I'm learning the officiating side of things after being an NAIA football coach and high school football coach for years. I'm now a high school official and in multiple sports, and kind of get my feet into this whole college refereeing gig.
That's fantastic. That's something I would not want to do, but we need good people doing it. So that's good. Well, sadly, your podcast is ending, but I know you still know a lot about Iowa football. So we're going to pick your brain on this. Let's start with like big storylines. What are the big storylines heading in to the season for the Hawkeyes?
Well, the biggest is obviously the quarterback position. Mark Gronowski, you know, is working his way around trying to find a place in the NFL, and he was a really capable and steady hand at the quarterback position for the Hawks last year. Even though he had some bumps in the road early on, I mean, I think even Kurt Cignetti would agree that if he doesn't go down in that Indiana game, Iowa might win that game. Iowa might be a college football playoff team if Mark Gronowski doesn't get hurt against Indiana. And so that's a big shoe to fill. And interestingly enough, Iowa didn't get really aggressive in the transfer portal for the quarterback position because I think they were really comfortable with what they had. And that is Mark Hicklinski, who is a transfer from Wake Forest, who is Georgia, was an all-state quarterback in the state of Georgia in high school. He came with the offensive coordinator who had been fired at Wake Forest, who was on the staff last year as an analyst for the Hawks and now has elevated into a more prominent role on the staff as the quarterback's coach. He is the quarterback's coach now. Mark Lester is just the offensive coordinator. I always had a lot of staff turnover, which isn't something that we've been able to say much. And then Hank Brown, who was a transfer from Auburn, they were both on the roster last year, both saw time in Gronowski's injury last year. And all of the words out of camp is that Hank Brown was leading the charge coming into the last 7 days. And then Hicklinski has really come on and absolutely showed out at the open practice on Saturday in front of the fans. Had 5 touchdowns, 200 yards passing, no interceptions. And Brown had from the insider people that I've talked to, which I still have some pretty good relationships in the building, Hank had his worst day on Saturday when everybody was watching. And so that's one of those problematic things as a coaching staff, because you're not just evaluating the position based off of one open practice. But unfortunately for the fan bases, that is the only chance they get to see. So it's going to be a heavy weight on the grade for the Iowa fans. So I think there's a lot of fans who are hoping it's Heklinski's job. Also, he seemed to be the better of the two last year in the action that they played. But Brown is just a physical, he's an Elite 11 kid, played for Trent Dilfer at Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee. Both of those guys are state champions in their respective state. So they have some pedigree. Both have played in other Power Four conferences. It's kind of a good problem to have, because then there's also a kid, Jimmy Sullivan, who's a redshirt freshman from Ohio, who was a three-star, four-star, depending on what recruiting service you were looking at coming out of high school, who had a really good camp and has kind of came along as the number three guy. And then we have a top 10 quarterback recruit on campus now in Bessinger, Tradon Bessinger out of Utah, who was a Boise State commit and then flipped to the Hawkeyes late in the recruiting process last year. And then Pat Fitzgerald's son, Ryan, is the fourth quarterback. He is a walk-on. So it's interesting. Pat Fitzgerald takes the job at Michigan State, takes Iowa's special teams coordinator, LeVar Woods, as the associate head coach and special teams coordinator for the Spartans. But both Ryan Fitzgerald, Pat's son, and LeVar Woods' son, Mason, stayed on the Hawkeye roster. Neither one of them followed their fathers to a fellow Big Ten school. So that kind of segues into the next big story for Iowa football, which is we've been so good at special teams in the Kirk Ferentz tenure, and I think that's going to stay. But Reese Dakin, our outstanding Australian punter, followed LeVar Woods to Michigan State. So he left Iowa. And so Iowa is literally replacing all specialists with the exception of the long snapper. Drew Stevens won the Washington Commanders kicking job over the weekend. He's obviously gone for the Hawkeyes, and he was such a dynamic weapon at the kicker position. So they signed a transfer. I think it's Olschick is how you pronounce his name, from the University of North Dakota. And then they got a punter from Simpson College, Phil Pott, who is an Iowa kid. Who is a Division III standout at the punting position. And so he transferred into Iowa to punt, but they also signed from Australia. So we have another Australian punter on campus too. So it's really kind of going to be interesting to see how the kicking game goes. And obviously Caden Wiegen, the nation's best kick returner, is now in the NFL. And so you look for Zach Luttmer to take the reins at the punt return position. And then Luttmer and Brevin Dahl, who is a speedster running back out of Madrid, Iowa, which Madrid still runs the old spinner back single wing. He was an all-state kid, small town, but had some injuries, but he has world-class speed. He's like a 4.37 40 kid coming out of high school. So he's gotten a little bit faster, I'm sure, in college. So Iowa will reload at those positions just because it seems like they always do. But you got to win all three phases of the game to play the Iowa Hawkeye brand of football. And so special teams is a big question mark right now.
You lost a lot of offensive line talent as well. How are you guys feeling with the line? Obviously, the running game for Iowa is always a massive thing. You lost running back production. You lost line production. Where's the rushing attack going to be for Iowa this season?
I think it's going to be really good. I think this line actually has a chance to repeat as the Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. Cade Pieper is an interior offensive lineman that when you stand next to him, he looks like he was created on an EA Sports video game. He's about 6'4", 297 pounds, and he is just cut. He just looks like he's made out of stone. And he played a lot last year when some of the Iowa players were injured. He started out at center, and they just announced yesterday that Cale Winter is now going to shore up the center position, and Pieper is going to play his more natural position of guard. Trevor Locke, so just some background on me. I coached NAIA college football at a top five program, Morningside University. That's where I got my start. A couple of my coworkers in that role, and a couple of guys I know really well, have matriculated into NFL scout positions and front office positions in the NFL. So I have some really good contacts at that level. And one of my contacts has Trevor Locke as the number two offensive tackle in next year's draft. And he's going to be starting at left tackle for the Hawkeyes. And he's a preseason Outland Trophy watch list person. He was all conference last year, I believe. And so it's one of those situations where Iowa really struggled in kind of that 4 or 5 years ago. This is when they had a real drought at the offensive line recruiting. It's really bounced back. George Barnett, the offensive line coach, really knows what kind of player he wants, and he gets them on campus, and they do really well. And so you've got some young guys who are finally getting to play a lot. Jack Doetzler played a lot last year. He's a really good player. And so I think you're going to see some real success, not just because of that offensive line. LJ Phillips transferring in from the University of South Dakota, and he is just a round ball of butcher knives. He's 6 foot tall, 235 pounds, gives real Sean Green vibes when you see him run the football. I don't think that's fair for us to compare him to a Doak Walker Award winner, but he rushed for over 2,000 yards at the FCS level last year. And Tim Lester and Jay Norvell are pretty excited about this University of South Dakota transfer.
What would you say, Joel, is the strongest position group that Iowa has going into the season?
The lines. I think it's offensive and defensive lines. The offensive line has been developed through Iowa's program, whereas the defensive line has really been developed through the transfer portal. Another South Dakota transfer coming over. Bryce Hawthorne is also a real stalwart. Merriweather coming back, played a lot last year. But you're also going to see the rise of Yose Epineza, the youngest of the Epineza boys, and all three of which have now played for Iowa. Eric was a walk-on linebacker, and then obviously AJ is still playing in the NFL. But Yose was a five-star recruit last year as a true freshman, saw some limited action, but is he can turn the corner as fast as anybody you've seen in black and gold. Another defensive lineman who's not on the two deep right now, and also Iowa doesn't really publish a two deep anymore because that gets you into some trouble in the NIL world where now people are saying, I'm on the two deep, I should be making this much money. So Iowa doesn't release that anymore. Drew Campbell is a defensive end, and he is the younger brother of Jack Campbell. He was a four-star recruit coming out of Cedar Falls High School, and he is long and lean, and I'm not sure he's as fast as his brother is, and that's why he doesn't play linebacker. That's why he plays defensive line. But I think Iowa is built in the trenches this year, and I'm not just saying that because that's, you know, what Kirk Ferentz tries to say. That's what they always do. They are built in the trenches, and I'm really excited about this young linebacker group. Jaden Montgomery, who's a Wisconsin native, you know, his dad was a coach for the Green Bay Packers, and then he played for the Hawkeyes. He's going to be back at the middle linebacker position to kind of bring the veteran presence. But some guys, Nolan DeLong, who is a walk-on but was an all-world athlete in the state of Iowa at linebacker, and then Cam Buffington. So Cam Buffington is a guy I saw up close and personal as a youngster officiating. Eight-man football player from a town of Winfield, Iowa, which is actually the hometown of Jess Settles, the former Iowa basketball star. Eight-man player, 6'3", 240 pounds, and he just runs like a deer. If this guy wasn't an eight-man player in the state of Iowa, he's probably a 4 or 5-star recruit. Like, if he's growing up in Minneapolis suburbs, everyone in the world knows about this guy. But he spent more time hunting and fishing and just being off of the radar and knew he always wanted to be a Hawkeye. So he didn't do all of the camps, all of the things to get all this attention. Rushed for over 2,000 yards as a running back in high school and was the leading tackler on the state championship team. So he's really going to come on as an outside backer. Really reminds me of Chad Greenway, not just because they were both 8-man players, but very similar skill set. And so this young linebacker position with another guy, Williamsburg, Iowa, I just totally drew a blank, and it was sad because my brother, like, knows him. My brother lives there in Williamsburg. But number 22, Derek Weisskopf. He's another linebacker to look for the Hawks. And then Zach Luttmer, we don't talk about him enough because everyone knows how great he is.
And your weakest position group, would you say? What's the place?
Specialists. I'm so worried about the specialists. I really, really am nervous that we're not going to have a consistent field goal kicker. I know that they feel good about what they've replaced, but when you look about how many games that Iowa has won in the margins over the last 10 years, it's been with great punting and great field goal kicking. When other teams are, and you know this as a Badger fan, when other teams' kickers are missing field goals in clutch situations, Iowa's kickers are making them. When other teams' punters are shanking a punt, Iowa's punters have been pinning a team inside the 15-yard line. So I'm really concerned about the kicking game.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Iowa just always does really well, which is crazy.
And it's one of those things LeVar Woods is one of the best in the country at. And it's not just the kicking game. It's the schemes. It's the fakes. It's all of those things. And we were all so sad to see LeVar leave. I think he's on some people's short list to replace Kirk. And I think it was one of those situations where he had to go somewhere else in order to build up his resume to be in consideration when Kirk decides to retire. Because, I mean, LeVar Woods is from the same small town that Zach Lutmer and Reese Vanderzee are from in Northwest Iowa. His high school teammate was Kyle Vandenbosch, who was a great player for the University of Nebraska. Played in the NFL for a long time. So, like, he's everything that all of us guys who grew up in Iowa wanted to be growing up, is, you know, play for the Hawks, go play in the NFL, come back and coach for the Hawks. And I think a lot of people hope that LeVar finds his way back, but it's a big loss replacing him at the coaching ranks.
And how do you see the season playing out? You've got a tough stretch playing Michigan, Ohio State, Washington. I mean, where do you feel like Iowa's in total is this year? And also your thoughts kind of on the Badger game.
I think Iowa is a 10-win football team this year. Wow. I really do. It's because of the strength of the running game and the strength of the lines. My concerns are that that Iowa State game concerns me a lot because it's a night game. Obviously, Iowa State is in a different situation than they were 12 months ago with Matt Campbell going to Penn State and taking a lot of that roster with him. I feel really old because Jimmy Rogers, the new Iowa State head coach, I offered him a scholarship when he was a high school senior in Arizona. But I'm only 45, so I shouldn't feel that old, but I definitely feel old. But the Iowa State game's a concern for me. Michigan scares me, too, because of Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham is a coach I have so much respect for, and I hate the fact that he now has the resources that he has at Michigan. But so to me, Iowa's going to beat Iowa State. To me, the losses are Michigan and somebody who it shouldn't be to. And whether that's a Wisconsin, whether that's a Nebraska, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be the Badgers. The Badgers are very much kind of a show me team this year, just because I know how challenging the quarterback position has been, and how challenging kind of the schematic fit has been with the Luke Fickell era at Wisconsin. So it's just so weird to watch Wisconsin play and not just see a top three offensive line in the Big Ten. It's just odd to me.
We're going to be a lot better up front. We're not going to be as good as that, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people with how efficient our offense is going to be. But defensively, that's where hopefully we can really make our noise this year.
And I'm not that Hawkeye fan. I am with Nebraska. I will never give Nebraska credit for anything at any time, anywhere.
Same for me in Minnesota.
Yes. But I don't look at Wisconsin and poo-poo them as much as my co-host on my podcast, who is a Madison, Wisconsin native. But it's just – it's. I think because I have a father who grew up as a physical therapist for the Iowa football program and – was around when Wisconsin was terrible before Barry Alvarez got there. And so I know what they were, and I know what they became. And I'm just shocked at how quickly it's slid. And I know it's because the academic requirements are hard there. And I know that it's not an easy school to recruit to from a academic standpoint. A lot of people may not realize that your audience obviously does, but Wisconsin's like the second hardest school to get into in the Big Ten after Northwestern. And so I know how hard it is to recruit there. And so I'd like to see them have success. I just don't want to see it be for playing for that testicle-less bull statue that we all play for.
It's a pretty silly trophy. Yeah.
I'm really good friends with Pat Anger, the color commentator for the Iowa Radio Network, and obviously an all-Big Ten linebacker. And he's just like, why does the bull have no nuts? I just don't get it. It makes no sense. But it's a great trophy otherwise.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get that trophy after two absolutely horrific defeats against the Hawkeyes. This one's going to be in at Kinnick, so that's not going to be easy. But yeah, we'll see. Joel, thanks so much for joining us and lending us your Iowa expertise. All right, thanks, Joel. Look, first and foremost, when I finished that interview, I thought to myself, "Wow, I'm 10-2. I'm surprised that Iowa fans are really that high on this team." And then I looked more into it, and I understand why. Obviously, you know, they're very high on their offensive line, which did lose some key players. They were the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line. Don't really see that happening again. They lost a rushing attack. And of course, Mark Gronowski. So a higher upside quarterback now being replaced with younger guys who it's not even sure whether it's going to be Hicklinski or Brown. Hicklinski is more of that like sort of mobile high upside guy. Brown is the bigger standard pocket passer type. Like, I don't know what they're going to go with. Joel didn't know what they were going to go with. So that's going to be key. But ultimately, a team like Iowa did not do what Wisconsin did, which was kind of change their identity a bit, right? Like, Iowa football is kind of the same as Iowa football has been the entire time, because they literally went to Kirk Ferentz years and years and years ago, and they haven't really changed. Their offense has evolved here and there, but for the most part, they're going to have good lines. I wasn't surprised to hear Joel say that the Lions are the strength of his team. And, you know, when he says special teams is a bit of a weakness, bad special teams for Iowa is just special teams for everyone else. That's all that really is. So I'm a little more concerned about the game. I'm always a little bit more concerned about these games after I talk to these guys because, you know, as you know, we cover the Badgers on this channel. So we're obviously going to talk about how we've improved and how much more excited we are about this season. But of course, other teams are as well. And you know, Iowa's still a really good high floor program that they've been the whole time. And they're just like we were a few years ago. And it's going to be difficult to get that done. Going on the road is not easy. Kinnick, as everyone knows, is a hard place to play. I think on the surface, I don't really see this game as a likely win. I think it'd be great if we could get it done, but it just doesn't seem likely. But at 42-10, 37-0, that cannot happen. No. We're not going to do that. And we better not do that, because that was truly, when I was sitting in that stadium last year and we got trucked by Iowa, and I was doing a podcast with Ryan up in the press box, it was so depressing. And I thought to myself, like, this is never going to change. This is going to be the end. This is all over. It was like the worst night ever. So yeah, it's going to be really difficult to get this done against Iowa. But I do think it's going to be much more competitive. I think we're a stronger team. We've got a better roster. They're going to be good. They're going to be good up front. So the question is, can Colton Joseph, deal with the defensive ends from Iowa? Can we pass the ball on Iowa's defense? It's hard to run on Iowa's defense all the time, but can we move the ball through the air? And then defensively, can we shut down whoever their quarterback is at the time? And can we get to the quarterback? I think we will. It's going to be a low scoring game, and we'll kind of see what happens with that. We're going to do another preview for Iowa in all these weeks, by the way. In the game week, we're going to be starting our Badger Blueprint series, which we've done for many years. We've done for the last couple of years. Three big things: pre-game preview. So that's going to be on Wednesdays during the season, starting, of course, with Notre Dame. We'll do a blueprint there as well. Always a difficult game against Iowa. It's not going to be easy to get this done. It falls at a not like the worst time in the schedule. I mean, obviously, it's right before you get this sort of back half of the November schedule, which on paper is easier. But it is a difficult October once again with UCLA and USC. But I think if you get UCLA or USC, let's say you get USC at home and you beat them, they find a way to get that done, the momentum going to Iowa would be absolutely massive. The other flip side of that is if you lose to Penn State and maybe you beat Michigan State, but you lose on the road to UCLA, you lose to USC, then that Iowa game comes at a point where you're thinking, okay, we need to find a way to get a victory here. Otherwise, the season can get into another tailspin. So it's a really critical game. It's always a big deal against Iowa. And I do think this team's going to be, they clearly are better. They think they're going to be better than a lot of people do. They're better than they thought. He mentioned a higher number than I thought he was going to say, but I get it. I do get it when you talk about a program that's just like, hey, we're always going to be an 8-win team. The question is, can we be a 10 or 11 win team, or are we just going to be 8 or 9? And so he's feeling positive enough to kick him over into that upper range for them, right? For us right now, we just want to get 7 or 8, which is bananas. But that's just the reality of it. We'll be back on the weekend with our full main pod, doing our, of course, preseason awards, superlatives, like the road to kickoff is continuing. We're ever so close. And then next week, we finish the Know Your Foe series with, yes, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the rodents from up north. We did that interview today as well. That's going to be fun. So we'll put that together and we'll get that out next week in advance of course, the final Sunday show before kickoff, which is going to be great. Reminder to all, meet up in Green Bay. We will be there. Justin and I are going to be there. We've already put some stuff out. We're going to put it out on Twitter. Follow me at Rajiv Badgers for where we're going to be. Titletown Brewing Company on Saturday for a little while, and Stadium View Bar on Sunday before the game, or actually earlier in the day. So coming out this year, we're going to be in Green Bay. That's going to be a lot of fun. Not likely a game that we're going to win, but we'll see what happens. We'll be back again on Sunday, of course, with our main show. Thanks for joining us, and as always, on Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.